We come to the end of the fifth chapter in Joshua. We've been studying the book of Joshua now for several weeks, and we start to see a story unfold of God's people and how God promised, even with Moses, how he was going to lead them to this promised land and give them a land of their own. And we saw how Moses had died, and how God had appointed Joshua to be the new leader of his people. And we saw the story unfold, how God spoke to Joshua and said that, "I want you to go in there. I'm going to deliver these people into your hands, that I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's just as I promised Moses, I'm going to continue to do through you, Joshua." And we read how Joshua sent the spies into this new land, and they found that the whole land was terrified of the Israelites already, because they heard what God had been doing through the Israelites for many, many years as they wandered in the desert. We saw how God told Joshua to tell the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and carry it to the Jordan River, how when their feet touched the edge of the Jordan River into the water would separate. So they did, and how the water separated for many, many miles, and millions of Israelites, God's chosen people, went through on dry ground to the other side of the Jordan, where they took 12 stones and set up as a pillar of reminder, or a pillar of testimony or remembrance, that what God had done for his people there that day. And every time they looked at this pillar, they would remember how great God was in delivering his people. We also read how God told them to circumcise the Israelites again, because as they wandered through the desert for 40 years, they had not circumcised their males. This circumcision was an identity that God was giving this new community of his chosen people. Okay? And if we remember, when he called Abram, the males were to be circumcised physically through the cutting away of the foreskin. And this would be a sign to all people that they were God's chosen people. Well, now here they were 40 years later, and all the men had died, and God said, "Not only am I going to deliver you, here is your new identity. You are my people through this sign that I proclaimed years ago through Abram, that you'll be my people." And it tells us that after they all healed, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." And on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while they were camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated Passover. Isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that the Passover symbolized the angel of death passing over, God's passing over in judgment on his own people, that the angel saw the blood that was painted on the doorpost, the sacrificial blood, and passed over the people, and now God was saying to them, as they celebrated the Passover, they were remembering how God again delivered them as he opened up the Jordan for them to pass through. They celebrated the Passover, that they were free now as a nation with a new identity. And then that day after, they ate some of the produce of the land of Canaan. We see in all this, in the first five chapters, we come to an end of the first section of Joshua. We see a picture of salvation, how God proclaimed, "I'm going to save you, my people," and how God led them across the Jordan River, how God put everything into place so that everything would work out and that they would reach the promised land. It's a picture of salvation that we have in our mind. But now we're going to stop a little bit and we're going to digest and dissect a little bit of the details of this, because it's too important to just skip over and keep on going. Here they were, just less than 2 months after Moses' death. They were on the other side of the Jordan as God had promised. Remember in chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, as Virginia read this morning, we see God's promise. And we see God's commands. And I want you to remember this. I want you to grasp it and hold on tight. God's promise was that, "I'm going to give this land to you. Every place where you set your foot, as I had promised, as I had already promised, you're going to have this wonderful place. No one will be able to stand up against you, and I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And he said, God's promise was, that if you are courageous and careful and obedient, you will be prosperous and successful. Now all of a sudden, our eyes are opened up and we wake up and think, I want to be prosperous and successful. I want to be prosperous in life and successful. As we look at the ancient Hebrew text, the word prosperity in this text implied power or victory. And success implies to have wisdom and insight and understanding in order to exercise in everyday life. In order to live out life. So, God was saying, in order to have prosperity and success, to be powerful and victorious over all your enemies, to have wisdom and insight and understanding, to exercise that skill of wisdom and understanding in everyday life, He commands His people to be strong and courageous. He doesn't say, now, if you're strong and courageous, or I want you to be strong and courageous. He flat out says, be strong and courageous. Strong, remember, implies being fastened, being connected. And courageous means being alert physically and mentally. In other words, He was commanding His people and commands us today to be fastened to Him. And to be alert physically and mentally, that we don't fall away from His commands and His statutes, because that's what He was saying. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from to the right or to the left from it. Don't turn one way from what I've told you, or don't turn the other way. Be strong and courageous. Be fastened to my word and be alert physically and mentally that you don't turn one way or another, and be careful and be obedient. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. So we see God's promise of prosperity and success would only come to His people, and only comes to His people today, if they are strong, courageous, careful, and obedient. Fastened to God and His Word, alert physically and mentally that they don't fall away, careful and obedient to obey God's commands and God's laws. Then and only then would the people, and will we today, be successful and prosperous. Not in light of all the stuff we see in our world today. Having a big bank account, a brand new car, a great big home, a high paying job, the way we dress, the places we eat. That is not prosperity and success in the eyes of Almighty God. God was saying, here it is. If you obey, if you are fastened to my word, and alert that you don't fall away, you'll be prosperous and successful. Secondly, we find in chapter 5 at the end of this section, here they are now on the other side of the Jordan River, and all along the way they were obedient. Everything God said, they did. No matter how silly it seemed, they did it. And we're going to see as they go into the promised land to conquer the enemy by the power of Almighty God, some of the things, again, are going to seem silly to the human mind. But here they are now. God has delivered them. We see God's salvation and the people's celebration. They're on the other side of the Jordan. We see God has conquered all the obstacles that have gotten in their way. And I want to just make note of this, because it's important that we understand this. This is not our salvation. It was not their salvation. It was God's salvation. When John saw the great multitudes in Revelation chapter 7, they were proclaiming that salvation is of God. It's God's salvation. Conquering the enemies, going ahead of His people always, opening up the waters and making a way for us, and bringing us victory, bringing us understanding, bringing us power to overcome the things that get in our lives every single day, giving us the ability to exercise skill in life. And you want to know something? There's only one place I found the Bible uses the word success, and it's right here. So we see God's salvation. As the Lord said to Joshua, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And the people celebrated on the evening of the 14th day of the month while they were camped there On the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. And then the day after, they ate some of the produce of the land. The manna stopped the day after they ate the food. Remember, God had been providing manna every single day for them for 40 years. And they ate the food from the land, and there was no longer any manna. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. We see God's salvation and the people's celebration. They knew now that God was on their side. I want you to think about this. God says, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. That word rolled implies removal. I've removed the reproach. I've removed the insult. There's no longer disgrace on you people. You're a people of victory, of power. I've rolled away, I've removed the insult and the guilt. And the people celebrated because they knew now that God was on their side. There was no longer a feeling of guilt because of improper behavior, and that's what was in the hearts of the people then. Why are we here in Egypt all these years, 400 years? Why did God not allow us to go into the promised land? And they had such a feeling of guilt, like their God was actually against them, but He wasn't. And sometimes it seems that way in our lives. Like, God, why are you doing this? God isn't doing it. He is allowing it that we might be stronger spiritually, that when He does deliver us, we might turn to Him and say, praise be to God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth. Right? I want to tell you, there's some people here this morning that can tell you this. Praise be to God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, who has delivered me from my suffering and my trials, and have freed me, has removed or rolled away the reproach in my life. You see, these people were in the promised land now. They were in Beulah land. And we see in all this that God promised prosperity and success if they would be obedient to Him and His Word. And they were. So we see as they reach the other side of the Jordan and they camp there, we see God's salvation in conquering every obstacle that came before His people. Every obstacle. Nothing was too great nor too small for God. And we see the people celebrate because now they knew God was on their side. And this would set the stage for what we're going to continue to talk about as they go into the promised land and meet up with all the enemies that come against them. As enemies do God's people, and the battles that they fight. But as we look at this, the story of salvation, people tend to think, yeah, the promised land is when we cross over into eternal life, into heaven, into Beulah land. That's the promised land. And that's what we're waiting for, that's what we're going through life for. But I want to tell you something this morning that we see here in Joshua. The promised land is in this life. In knowing that we are God's people, that our hearts have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, the hardness of our hearts have been removed, and God's given us a heart of flesh, that we are His people, that our salvation is now. Paul told the Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm not waiting for salvation. I have salvation right now, right here, on this side of all that God has delivered me from and brought me to on this side of the Jordan in life. And here I stand, celebrating, praising God, giving God thanks that He has parted every water, that He's defeated every enemy, that He has taken control, that He's gone ahead of me in my life and put fear into the hearts of everything that's going to happen in my life. You folks realize in the omniscience and the omnipotence of God, God knows the future because He's already there. Satan doesn't. Nothing else in this world knows the future, nor can control the future. But God does. And God can. And I don't know about you folks, but that's somebody I want going ahead of me. Granted, when I get to that point, and something causes me to stumble in my spiritual life, Satan's right there on the attack, causing me to say, where are you now, God?
What good are you now? You're letting me go through this. God, why are you doing this to me? He's right there trying to get me to curse God and die like he was with Job. But I say no. And I want you to say no when that happens. Because God is greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We have a God who already knows the problems you're going to face tomorrow, next week, next year, and beyond in your life. And he's going ahead creating a sense of fear for his people's enemies. That when we get there, the battle's already won. And we have no reason in the world to let the situation control our lives, to cause us to be angry, to cause us to blame God, to cause us to worry, although we do. We can always turn to God, remembering what he's done, and going forward into the future, knowing that it's still going to be a battle. It's still going to be a battle. But yet, the God who is the God of salvation promised to those who received him, to those who believe in him, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay? He promised that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. He promised me that. That's his word. And I have to keep that near and dear to my heart every single day. Because that tells me he is a God of salvation that saves his people. We say, why did he just allow them to go in there and everything be peaceful and easy and fine? Because you know what the people would have done? They'd have got in there, they'd have got complacent, they'd have got all back in their easy, spiritual easy chairs, and they'd have said, ah, we don't need God, look what we've got, we have it all. We can go on from here, we can take it from here, God, we're good to go. God knows that. Day by day, the battles we fight bring us hopefully closer and closer to Almighty God. That's why he allows us to go through it. But as we're going through it, we have to remember, we have his promise. As his people, we will not perish. We have his promise. As his people, no weapon forced against us will defeat us or overcome us. We have his promise that believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are his children. And is he going to let his children suffer and die? No, he's going to come in and save us and part the waters. Every situation that you might be dealing with right now, take a good, hard look. God is right there. Right there. He's in your computer that just crashed. He's in your car that just broke down. He's in your checkbook that looks bleak. He's in your home that looks dirty. He's in your body that feels sick. He's in the hospital where it seems like there's no hope. He's in the gatehouse. He's in the psych ward where it seems like there's no hope at all. He's every single place in our lives. And all we have to do is stop and look, and we find out he's the God of salvation that saves his people. This is a great salvation picture that we have here in the first five chapters of Joshua. How God brought his people to a place in their lives where he said, you are my people, here is your new identity, and now we're going in. And we're going in to conquer. Because I promised you this, and I will not go back on my promise. And my promise cannot be broken. And if I promise it, you will see it come to fruition. And didn't it come to fruition when they ate the fruit of the land, the bounty of the land? They enjoyed the fresh fruit, the produce that they turned down many, many years earlier. Remember, they came back with these great big things of grapes, vines of grapes, small the fruit of the bounty of the land. But because some of them would not trust that they had a God who could deliver them in the promised land, they said, we can't go in there. The problem's too big. Those people are giants. We can't go. And as a result, the people died because they did not trust. They did not obey. They were not strong and courageous. And they were not obedient to God's word. Every day of your life, when something happens, I want you folks to pick this up. This is the power of God for salvation. only the salvation of our souls to eternal life, but the salvation of our lives right today, because salvation is today. We are saved people. And there's a wisdom and understanding in this that gives us the power to use our skills, knowing that God is faithful and just and all-powerful. When there's a problem, turn here. And there's praise, turn here. In everything of life, we should carry this with us, that we can turn to it and know that our God is a God that will save His people. My question to you is, are you His people? Have you received His Son, Jesus Christ, and believed in Him and accepted Him? If you say, yes, I have, then you know that you are a child of God. If you have not done that, I urge you today, don't wait another day, because salvation is right now, and you can be saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If that's the case and you'd like to pray about it, let me know. But today we're going to praise God that He's a salvation, a saving God, a God of salvation, and that He offers this to us. He holds out His hands and says, come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's pray. Lord our God, how wonderful are your works that tell the age-old story of your character and your power of saving your people. If we expect anything in our lives day in and day out, if we expect prosperity and success, I pray you help us to heed your commands to be courageous, to be strong, to be careful, and to be obedient, that we might in our own lives see your salvation, and that we in our own lives might experience a celebration of being saved unto eternal life, but yet being saved every day of this life, that we might truly eat of the fruition of your great grace in Jesus Christ our Lord, and enjoy the fruits of everyday life, knowing that we are your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have a great closing hymn this morning. Let's turn to 337. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have to take everybody's money, don't I? I encourage you as you give today, this is a great opportunity to express our faith and to trust and obey God as we give. Thank you, Kevin.